Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching through a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're learning what God has said in His Word about battling against Satan. The message is called Running to Meet the Enemy, so let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Samuel 17 as we go back to basics.
Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle, and were gathered at Socoh, which belongs to Judah. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath, from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, approximately 9 feet. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had a bronze armor on his legs, bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Verse 26, then David spoke to the men who stood by, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Verse 45, then David said to the Philistine, "Come to me, or you come to me, with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So it was when the Philistine arose and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Let's pray. Lord, as we read over this story, this great event in history, this great demonstration of your victory over the forces of evil through this one young man, Lord, may we be inspired today. Lord, may we, like David, take courage. And Lord, may we, like David, run to meet the enemy, not cower and hide away. Lord, strengthen us. Help us to know today we're in a battle. Help us to know that you've given us victory. In Jesus' name, amen. This is, of course, one of the great, great stories of the Bible, stories that most of us, even if we were not necessarily brought up as Christians, stories that we learned as children. And I think particularly for boys, one of the favorite stories of the Bible. My three-year-old grandson, this happens to be his favorite story presently, and with any opportunity that he has, he will act this story out right before you. He has a little bit of a speech problem, and so we've had to take him in and have him tested and trying to find out, you know, just what's the matter with his inability to speak at this stage. And anyway, as he's going through this testing, of course, there's different therapists and people that work with him. And one incident that occurred was pretty funny. They were trying to get him to sing a song, and they were singing a song that had the words in it about going round and round. And so they were, you know, trying to get him to sing, and he didn't know that song, but he knows another song with the words going round and round, and it's the song about David and Goliath. And so as they were singing and trying to get him to chime in, he started chiming in, and he started doing this thing with his hand, you know, round and round, and they're looking like, well, okay, that's an interesting hand motion. And the next thing you know, as they're singing round and round, he suddenly sort of does the thing, you know, he's letting go of the stone. And the next thing you know, he acts this whole thing out. He stands there, and all of a sudden he just goes, and, you know, then he sort of totters, and then he falls down. And, you know, they're watching all this. They have no idea what this little kid's doing. And then to top it off, his last act is... And now his new thing is he's carrying an imaginary head of Goliath around with him. So as you can imagine, in our current mindset today, that was probably, pretty alarming for the therapist. But the point is, it's a great story, and boys love this story. Because it is a great story. It's the story of this young man who just has absolute faith and confidence in God. And too often, I think today, Christians are like Saul's army, timid and cowering in the face of the enemy when we should be advancing. And so here David really exemplifies the spirit that we who are the followers of Christ must possess in our day if we're going to see any kind of turning back of the enemy's progress and any advancement of the kingdom of God. And that's what I want to focus on today. Just this one little statement here at the end of the verses we read, where we see that David runs out to face the enemy. And instead of sitting by passively, we must run, so to speak, to meet the enemy in full confidence of victory, as David did. But we have to consider, first of all, that we have sort of a twofold enemy. We have the enemy within, and we have the enemy without. And unfortunately, many times we're defeated by the enemy within to the extent that we never really get to engage much with the enemy without. Now, the enemy within that I'm referring to is the flesh. The enemy without is the devil. So what we want to consider here today is basically how it is that we can have victory over the flesh, and in having victory over the flesh, give us the strength and the confidence and all that we need to then go out and contend with the devil. But what am I talking about when I talk about the battle within? When we're talking about the flesh, what are we talking about? We all know this battle. We all know this struggle. The Bible tells us that the flesh is actually warring against the spirit. There's a constant conflict that exists within the bosom of each and every believer. And it's the flesh seeking once again to take dominion over our lives. The flesh manifests itself in sin, manifests itself in compromise, manifests itself in spiritual laziness. Let me give you some examples of sin taken right from Galatians chapter 5. The works of the flesh are sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, which is lust for sensual pleasure, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, quarreling, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, which means holding in contempt those outside of your little group, envy, drunkenness, party lifestyle. These are all of the things that originate in the flesh, and these are the things that we contend with. Now, the important word is contending with them. Unfortunately, so often we are being overcome by them. We're being controlled by them. We're being dominated by them. We're being prevented, really, from engaging in the larger battle because we're entangled in these kinds of things. Sin, a manifestation of the battle with the flesh. Compromise. Compromise is a little bit different than sin, but it generally leads one into sin. What do we mean when we talk about compromise? We're talking about really sort of living in the gray zone. Living in that, you know, not in the black or the white, but just sort of in that, trying to live in the middle, trying to sort of straddle the fence of the world and the kingdom of God. Manifest itself in going places we shouldn't go, hanging around with people that we shouldn't be hanging around with, doing things that we shouldn't be doing. And all of this ultimately grieves and quenches the spirit and leaves us with no witness for Christ at all. Compromise. Then there's also spiritual laziness. Spiritual laziness is manifested in things like this. You're not really committed to any consistent fellowship. Rarely reading the Bible. Hardly ever sharing your faith. Not having much of a prayer life. All of these things, sin, compromise, spiritual laziness, they're all manifestations of the enemy within. And here's the thing that I want to emphasize. We have got to get the victory here, and we can. And like David, we need to rush to engage the enemy within and overcome the enemy within and not sit by passively or not succumb to the power of the flesh, but take the victory that God has given us. You see, if we're walking in spiritual defeat personally, we're never going to be able to engage on the bigger picture of this conflict with the devil. And in some cases, the devil doesn't even need to interfere in our lives because the flesh is doing a fine job of keeping us under. So he's busy concentrating on other things. But God has called us to victory. What is the answer to sin? The answer to sin is simply obedience. Obedience. Paul says in writing to the Romans chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, he says, "Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." See how simple that is? Do not do it. It's as simple as that. It's not any more complicated than that. Do not do it. God says don't do it, and he gives us the power not to do it through the indwelling of his Spirit. So these manifestations of the flesh that we just read over, sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, witchcraft, quarreling, jealousy, hatred, all these things, none of these things should be dominating our lives as believers. If they are, it's simply because we are failing to obey. God calls us to just simply obey, to know that he will give us the grace, he will give us the ability to conquer, but we have got to exercise our will and obedience and say, "I will not do these things." That's what he means when he says, "Do not let sin reign." You have the power to stop sin from reigning in your life. What is the answer to compromise? The answer to compromise is consecration. Listen to what Paul said in writing to the Corinthians in the second epistle. He says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Satan? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord." You see, the compromised person is a person who's going places where they shouldn't go. They're hanging out with people they shouldn't be hanging out with, and they end up doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And grieving the Spirit, quenching the Spirit, failing in their witness. What's the answer? Consecration. Disconnect from all of that. Disengage from that. Now, of course, we need to associate with unbelievers. We need to be a witness to them. But there are obviously people out there that are going to be detrimental to your spiritual well-being, and you know who they are. And you need to simply avoid spending time with them. If you have to spend time with them, invite them to come to church. That's the surest way to solve the dilemma right there, because they'll either say, "Forget that, adios," and you won't see them again, or maybe they'll come along and get saved. But don't go to the party with them. Don't go to the club with them. You see, that's the mistake. People are hanging out in places that they shouldn't be in. And I know sometimes, "Oh, well, I wanted to go there and be a witness." But the reality is, you're not a witness there, are you? You're not a witness at all. You intended to be. You hoped to be. You're not a witness. You're actually more of a confusion. They're looking at you going, "Wait, what are you doing here? Aren't you supposed to be at church? Aren't you a Christian now?" You see, even non-believers, they have a standard that they think Christians are supposed to live by. So the answer to compromise is consecration. And then, thirdly, the answer to spiritual laziness is discipline. These are all of the things that we battle with in regard to the enemy within, the flesh. Discipline is the answer to spiritual laziness. Again, Paul, in writing to the Corinthians in the first letter, the ninth chapter, he says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore," Paul says, "I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air or shadow boxing. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize." Sometimes it's just sheer laziness on our part. And the solution, the answer, the remedy to that is discipline. We've got to discipline ourselves. We've got to make it a point to get into God's Word on a consistent basis. We've got to make it a point to be committed to fellowship. We've got to make it a point to set aside time for prayer. We've got to make it a point to seek to reach out to others and minister the truth of the gospel with them. You see, before we can deal with the enemy without, we've got to get the victory over the enemy within. But here's the thing. God's given us the victory. He wants us to have the victory. You know, an army is only as strong as its individual soldiers. And if we, as the church, we make up a large army in a sense, we're a multitude of people. But if the individual members of the army are weak and feeble and anemic, then we're going to have a hard time advancing at all. So we have to be strong. But here's what I'm saying. We've got to treat the flesh just like David treated Goliath. We have got to run to meet the enemy with absolute confidence that God has given us the victory. So those sins of the flesh, I just simply say, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. By the grace of God and the power of God's Spirit, that no longer has dominion over me. The compromise, I just look at it and say, no, I'm going to be a consecrated person. I'm going to give myself to the Lord. I'm going to set myself apart for Him, and I'm not going to be lazy spiritually. I'm going to discipline myself. And in all of this, remember, God will help you. He will give you the grace. Because in order to defeat the enemy without, or to push him back, we have got to have first dealt with the enemy within. So, having seen how to do that, let's move on and address the enemy without. Well, I'm speaking, as you already know, of course, of the devil. The devil is the great enemy of God and the people of God and the work of God. And what Goliath was to Israel and to David, the devil is to the church and to us individually as believers today. But again, we see in David, we see a man with faith and confidence in God. And he's not fearful and he's not cowering, but he's rushing forward to engage the enemy. Satan, according to Scripture, is directing the course of this world. He's blinding the minds of men and women to the truth of the gospel. He's taking people captive to do his will. And God has called his church, which we are a part of, he's called us as his people to engage in spiritual warfare. He's called us to fight the devil. He's called us to fight the devil in such a way as he would be weakened in his effect upon the world, that his grip upon people would be broken, that the blindness that he's put on their hearts and minds would be removed. God has called us to fight the enemy to that end. How do we do that? How do we defeat the devil? Well, we're going to look at three things real quickly. The first one that I've mentioned quite frequently, but again, I bring it up, prayer. Prayer is a great weapon that God has given us. But isn't it true that so often, as individual Christians, we generally tend to think of prayer only in terms of how it relates to me and my own personal struggles or my own personal desires? Do we understand that prayer is to go beyond just me and my own issues? Do we understand that prayer is a great weapon that God has given us to literally drive back the forces of darkness? You see, in Scripture, of course, we're told to pray. We're told to ask the Lord for things, and we're told to, you know, by implication, we can pray for ourselves and pray, you know, for God's work in our life and all of that. But isn't it true that so often we're praying for just a lot of meaningless sort of things, kind of material type of things that don't really matter when it comes to eternity? God calls us to pray. He tells us to pray for rulers. He tells us to pray for kings. He tells us to pray for authorities. He tells us to pray for his servants. He tells us to pray for his body, his people. He shows us by example through Jesus's prayers and the prayers of the apostles. And we as Christians, I think a lot of times today, rather than being like David and running to meet the enemy in prayer, we are just sort of disengaged when it comes to prayer.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Running to Meet the Enemy, and the resource number is OBB521. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Our God, you reign. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.